السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات، بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. صدق الله العظيم. I'm a little forward. علماء کرام، respected brothers and our sisters at the madrasa, those listening over receivers and also those listening over Channel Islam. I have explained to you on many occasions that as far as Islam is concerned, we have guidance with regards to everything. There is no need to search for guidance anywhere outside the Quran and Sunnah. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were many, many occasions. Everything that we will face in our lifetime, whether it is of happiness or difficulty, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam faced. Happiness in the form of marriage, walima. Happiness in the form of birth of a child or children. Happiness in the form of receiving some gifts. Happiness in the form of other achievements. Now those kind of things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam experienced in his lifetime. And we have been given clear cut in direction as to how we should celebrate, how we should express our happiness when we are blessed with some ni'mat and bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then when it comes to difficulties, hardships, when it comes to problems, when it comes to tests and trials, then of course, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam underwent, not even any Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to undergo such kind of suffering and such kind of tests and such kind of trial. He was troubled the most. So there again we have clear-cut direction in the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if a person is faced with difficulties, with tests, with trials, if he has some kind of sickness, weakness, some kind of suffering, or if he is faced with people becoming shaheed in his family, martyred in his family, then how one should behave, what one should do at such a time. So there is no need for us to go outside the Sunnah, outside the Quran Sharif, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen, and he was a guide for mankind until the day of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the guide. Whoever will follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then on Qiyamah day too, inshallah, he will cross pull Sirat like lightning and enter into Jannat once again with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, whatever is happening around in the world today, it is not a question of not having happened before. As far as the 10th of Muharram is concerned, tonight I don't intend going into any detailed discussion of 10th of Muharram. As I have mentioned in previous occasions also, that we are fortunate that we are living in a world where there's so much of publications, then we have the radio stations, and we have so much of waaz and nasihat and talks and bayans in the language that we understand. When we were going to school in those days, when we were little children, we used to go to the masajid, But unfortunately, we never used to understand anything because the language that was spoken, we were not understanding. However, today practically every masjid bayans are in English and nobody can say we don't understand. Then there are so many tafasir and translations and commentaries of the Quran Sharif in the English language. Or in whichever country a person is staying in his language. The media is there. There's so much of information there. If a person wants to just know something, he can pick it up on the internet, he can pick it up in the books, in the library. So much there is. So with regards to the 10th of Muharram also, any Muslim with the least bit of knowledge also, he knows what the significance is. Over the past 2-3 weeks, there has been so much of literature being distributed. And those who listen to radio stations and look into the internet, then they must have picked up so much. Therefore, I will just give you one or two important things with regards to the 10th of Muharram, and that is all there is to it. After that, everything else that we do is nothing but fabrication, or it is something that has been innovated and introduced into Islam by those who had nothing to do with Islam. There is no sign of those kind of actions anywhere in the teachings of Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu became shaheed. Do we have anywhere that he took out some taziyah for that? So whoever you look at, whether Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani Ramatullah Ali, Bayazid Bustami Ramatullah Ali, Khaja Muinuddin Ajmeri Ramatullah Ali, all these people, read their writings. What do they say? What must we do on the 10th of Muharram? All of them. Because that is what is from the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That the fast of the 10th of Muharram is Sunnah. Indeed it is. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, prior to the fast of Ramadan becoming obligatory, the fast of the 10th of Muharram was compulsory. The Ummah used to keep the fast of the 10th of Muharram. After the fast of Ramadan became obligatory, then it became Sunnah. If a person keeps it, he will get reward. It is expected that inshallah, if the person keeps it with sincerity, with ikhlas, then it will compensate for the minor sins that he has committed during the course of the year. We're talking about minor sins. As far as major sins are concerned, there is no question of just fasting on the 10th of Muharram, so all debts and liabilities and everything is now waived off because the person kept a fast. And especially if he came from Arafat, then double maaf of all his debts and liabilities. Now he doesn't owe anybody anything. Doesn't mean that. The person's minor sins which we committed by the millions in the year. So it is expected, inshallah, that it will be forgiven if the person keeps with sincerity the fast of the 10th of Muharram. But the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is that we should add on one more fast, 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. That means tomorrow and the following day, if we haven't observed today. But don't look down upon anybody that does not fast. It is something that is recommended, encouraged. And we too must recommend and encourage. And those who are fit, healthy, and they can go without food and drink on the football ground and cricket ground for hours and hours. So then if they keep one fast, it's not going to destroy their life. So if a person keeps the fast, why again 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th? Is because when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Madina Sharif, so the Jews were also fasting there. But why are you fasting? He said because Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation from Fir'aun on the 10th of Muharram, so therefore we are fasting as a thanksgiving. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that we are more closer to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We are far more worthy of keeping that fast. But to oppose those who are the Yahudis, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, keep one fast. So when ibadat, something which is an ibadat, even there Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not like that we should emulate and follow those people who are disbelievers, then what about our cultural lifestyles? In our homes, in our dressing, in our eating habits, in our visiting, in our businesses, in our politics, in everything else, we should be the one who should be leading. We should be not the ones who are emulating or aping the apes. We should be the one who should be leading. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ummah were leaders of the mankind. People looked at the ummah and then they got direction in life. It took them out from all their problems, all their difficulties. It gave them peace, contentment, happiness. It gave them tranquility in their hearts. It gave them such a bond with the Creator that irrespective of what kind of situation the person was in, but deep down in his heart he really enjoyed that sukoon because he knew that my Allah is with me. Whether it was in the battlefield, or whether it was in poverty, or whether it was when the person suffered a loss of his child, or his children, or his wife, or his parents, or whether the person suffered a loss of property, or anything, but the person knew that this is a test from my Allah, because he was doing whatever Allah Ta'ala had ordered him to do. It was not like us, that if it comes upon us, then the first thing we must check is our sin list. We must check our sin list. A Muslim was one where there was no question of a list of sins. Accidental sin, if he committed, then he made tawbah, he repented, turned towards Allah Ta'ala, asked for forgiveness and Allah Ta'ala forgave. There was no question of a whole list, but we have a whole grocery list of sins. So we must check that when any kind of difficulty and hardship and problem come upon us. For the pious and the righteous ones, it is a forgiveness or it is an elevation of the status and position and rank. For us, we must think that Allah Ta'ala wants to get us up from our slumber and our sleep. Tumhare ghar mein choron ne lagayi hai naqab, jaago. Tumhara ye liye jaate hai maal asbab sab, jaago. Pade ho ab bhi ghafil, kar rahe ho kya ghazab, jaago. Bahut soye, bahut soye, bas ab jaago, bas ab jaago. I've explained this many times in different majalis. The enemies have entered your homes. Those who may not have heard it, and those who have heard it, listen again. It says the enemies have entered your homes. The thieves, the burglars, and they haven't entered silently, quietly. They've made a big, big noise. They were drilling, big, big drills. They drill big, big holes in the walls of your home and they enter. And what did they do after that? He says that tumhara sab liye jaate hai maal. Asbab, they're taking away everything of yours. From the house, whatever you had, everything, they're emptying it. Your gold, your silver, your jewelry, your cash, your fridge, your stove, your microwave and those big, big hi-fis and TVs, everything. But still you are fast asleep, fast asleep. Bahut soye, bahut soye, bas ab jaago, bas ab jaago. Meaning that they have entered our home through the media, through the TV, through the newspapers, through the magazines and through their lies and deceit and whatever you can think of. They have entered our homes and they have taken away the culture of the Muslim. They have taken away the culture. They are stealing it. Our honesty, our truthfulness, our sincerity, our charities, our piety, our taqwa, our zuhud, our contentment, our qanaat, our love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything is being snatched away, stolen. And we are fast asleep. That's the explanation I should always give. But now I say that they've entered the home in the light of what is happening in Palestine now and many other parts of the world. We will say that's our home they have entered. Now look at what they have done there. What they have done there. Where is that Muslim ummah which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left in one body and one soul? Where if one person experienced pain and difficulty and hardship, the entire ummah experienced that pain. If there were, for example, 1,000 people, just for example, who suffered some kind of difficulty or hardship, if just one person suffered of the 1,000, then there were 999 people to feel that pain and that difficulty and hardship. And if one person experienced happiness, then the same. The rest of them will experience happiness. Where can we ever think of where there is such a kind of collaboration, where there is such a kind of assistance and help to bring about more destruction of the Muslim life and property? Little babies are dying, children are dying, masajid are being bombed. The pillage, the plunder, the carnage, the destruction, unheard of. Our hearts have become dead. Somebody once said to one Allah wala that our hearts have gone to sleep, make dua. He said, if they were gone to sleep, then you shake a sleeping person, he gets up. So don't say they've gone to sleep, they are dead. But it is useless we screaming and shouting here, it's not going to help. Nobody is listening in the United Nations at our bayans. Nobody is listening in Israel. Nobody is listening in the United States. And nobody is listening in those corridors of power. The military is hell-bent on destruction of the ummah there. They have absolutely no compassion, no mercy, no kindness of any kind. The Muslim ummah, they get together, have one nice big conference, 53 countries getting together. The whole world is waiting for some very important announcement, something is going to come out of it. And when they come out of it, they say Israel must take it a bit easy too, and the Hamas must also take it a bit easy. That's what they do. So what is the option? What is the way out? People say, what else is the way out but that we, who cannot do much that side, we must turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah ta'ala to change the conditions. Look at the plotting and planning that went against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that 100 people, there's no time to go into details, 100 people surrounded his house. 100. Strongly armed. That as soon as Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out of the house in the morning, they're going to assassinate him. And why did they have so many people? They took from every tribe. So that when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'uzu billah, is assassinated, then the blame won't come just on one family or one tribe. The blame will be on everybody. They don't know who did what. Now if we have to use our aqal, our intelligence, does it make sense that 100 people have to remain outside the house? Those houses didn't have burglar guards. They didn't have strong gates. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's house had burglar guard and very strong gates. But it's not coming into their head that we must break and go in. They could have just not even kicked the door. The door didn't even need a big kick. But look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's planning, that it's just not coming into their head. They are waiting outside and quite happy that when he comes out, we are going to do this. In the meantime, he is informed by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what they are planning. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes some sand in his hand, reads something, blows and casts it towards them, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes them blind to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's walking out of the house. Then again in the cave of Sur, what kind of protection and security? Does it ever make sense to anybody that if you have a spider's web and few dove's eggs, that is security? That means in future if a person wants to have security outside his house, then get a few pigeons, some doves, tell them to lay some eggs there, and lots of spiders around now, so you can put the spiders to build some web on our doors, and then see if anything remains safe after that. Allah Ta'ala's power and might, Allah Ta'ala is showing that if He wants to protect, He can protect by means of the spider's web. Then look at the battle of Badr, 313, 1000 opposition. Look at the battle of Uhud, look at the battle of Trench, look at all those different battles. What is very, very clear, very glaring and very conspicuous is this, that it is the help, the nusrat and the madad of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that is the cause of the victory of those believers. Because they were obedient. Agar hum sab ho jaye paaban shariat ke maze luta kare din raat dunya hi mein jannat ke main kehta nahi quran ye kehta hai musalmanon Tumi waris ho dan jannat ke, tumi waris ho dunya ke. If only all of you, he says, become pavand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, then you will enjoy the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. And he says, I am not saying it. The Quran Sharif is saying that you are the heirs of dunya and akhirat. Not only of the akhirat, even this world Allah Ta'ala has created everything for the believers. The others are enjoying it because there's some believer in existence. So progress, nobody stops, make a lot of progress. Shariat also wants us to progress. But not at the cost of a person's iman, his Islam, his amal, his actions, his deeds. In our quest for progress and for enjoyment and for fun and for pleasure, we become completely negligent that we are a creation of Allah Ta'ala. We are His bandas and we are answerable and we are accountable. Therefore, we are given these Mubarak days like Ashura day. Now the person makes a lot of tawbah because one nation's tawbah was accepted and Allah Ta'ala will accept the tawbah of others also if they have to make sincere tawbah on this day. All those other things which come in the literature which have got no foundation and no base. The other night I was reading one pamphlet that came. It says whosoever, it might be taken from some kitabs, but lots of things have been put into those kitabs as additions, as changes, as alterations. Lots of our pious elders wrote authentic kitabs. But then people later on made a lot of changes and alterations, and these things then circulated because there were people who were doing that. Just as we have now disinformation, misinformation, all kinds of things are happening. So they say, now whoever is going to put surma in his eyes on the 10th of Muharram, then for the whole year he will never find any pain in his eyesight. And the person who will visit one sick person on the 10th of Muharram, then it is as if he has visited the entire mankind, whoever is sick. And the person who will drink or give people sharbat to drink on the 10th of Muharram, so then this person is like one who was not even negligent for a single second in his whole life. And so many other things. And pregnant women must not on the 10th of Muharram do this and do that. And then also, no nikahs must take place. Now all those things are fabrications, it's got nothing to do with Islam. All those superstitious beliefs, it's got nothing to do with Islam. So therefore we have to follow the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that keep a fast. The other hadith Sharif is Bayhaqi and some have considered as authentic and others have made some kalam, but it is about extending of one's dastarkhan. These are the only two things that we find. The other one is, of course, this tawbah, istighfar, nadamat, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. But the other thing is that if a person extends his dastarkhan, meaning that if whatever he was eating normal times, so he just increases that a little more, then Allah Ta'ala will give him barakat for the rest of the year in his livelihood and sustenance. But there again, now it does not mean it's a hard and fast thing that we have to go to the bazaars and supermarkets and shopping malls and all and buy and buy and buy. Nothing like that. In fact, at present, the right thing to do is that if we were eating an X amount, then we must reduce it a little on the 10th, this 10th of Muharram, and say that is what I'm going to now contribute for those brothers and sisters and little babies that are dying, who are suffering and are starving. We will get much, much more barakat for the rest of the year, instead of wasting. So these are the two things. The rest of it, as I said, is nothing but fabrication. As far as shahadat is concerned, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu, Imam Hussain, or Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, his shahadat coincided. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose his shahadat for the 10th of Muharram, which was a great gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to him. No doubt it was a great tragedy, very, very great tragedy. The grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's passing away, becoming martyred, is a great tragedy. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes that tragedy for the person who passed away a great ni'mat and a great bounty. Therefore, I always say that we must not look at the body of a person who has been smashed, the body has been smashed or crushed in accidents, shooting cases, or bomb blasts or earthquakes, things like that happen. And then if we look from the outside, we find the body of the person is in such a state that it is frightening sometimes. So lots of people run to conclusion and just look at the body of that person. You couldn't even make out the person. He was burned so badly. The person was, his face was completely smashed. Now, if that person outside is like that, it does not mean that that is exactly how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to deal with. It is the soul that matters. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu became shaheed. Therefore, I'm saying read the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You'll find for everything an example. Now, whose body could have been more mutilated than that of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala? Eyes taken out, nose cut, ears cut, heart, liver and lungs all removed. Necklace is made with the fingers and everything. And Hinda wears it around her neck. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a rock of patience, but when he too sees the body of his uncle, he can't hold back his tears. That Nabi of Allah, he can't hold back his tears. And he said, if it had not been for Safiya, my aunt, then I would have just left it like that, so that the creatures, insects, animals eat his body, and he rises on the day of Qiyamah. It was like something that was a great achievement. The whole history of Islam is full of martyrs. Besides Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, if you look at the Khulafa'i Rashidin, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, somebody's witness the earth will bear that this person became shaheed here. Somebody came shaheed in the shop. Somebody came shaheed in the field. Somebody came shaheed in the aeroplane. Somebody came shaheed in the boat. Somebody came shaheed in some ocean. Different kinds of shahadat people got. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala was shahadat of his, he became shaheed on the musalla of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The mihrab and the mimbar and the musalla of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will give shahadat on the day of Qiyamah that Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, became shaheed here. Whilst performing the salat, spear was put through him. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hussein, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, for 3 days no water was allowed. Hazrat Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala, for 40 days his house was in siege. So all these things about siege and about shahadat and about mutilation of the body and killing and murder of little children and babies and everything has happened throughout the history. Therefore, we say that there is no such thing as one day of mourning and grief because Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala passed away on the 10th of Muharram. Because if we have to do that, then we will have to have for every day there will have to be some kind of a day of mourning. Every second, every minute, some great person in the history of Islam passed away or became shaheed. So these people who are becoming shaheed, it is a great achievement, we would say. But of course, that does not mean that we express great joy and happiness that people must become shaheed. We say, whoever Allah Ta'ala chose for shahadat, it does not mean a person just goes into the battlefield and say, well, look, I want to become shaheed, so therefore kill me. That is not shahadat. He will fight. After that, in that fight, if he is killed, he is shaheed. So look at the history of Islam. How they were desirous. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he said, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ. It is my desire that I become shaheed in the path of Allah. And then I be given life. And then again I become shaheed and I be given life again. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says it's his desire. But because Allah Ta'ala had promised in the Quran Sharif, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect you from the people. Therefore, he did not get that kind of shahadat. But his grandson, Shaheed, Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, and poisoned, that was a kind of shahadat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and his father-in-law, Shaheed. Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and his son-in-law, Shaheed. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and his son-in-law, Shaheed. So how many people became shaheed in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Therefore we should, whilst on the one hand, feel the hurt and the pain. But at the same time, we must believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will use the blood of the shuhada to bring about changes in the condition. Zulm is something that Allah ta'ala does not tolerate. But a person is given a rope. It is just that our weakness and our shortcomings that sometimes we have to wait until the suffering of the ummah reaches a certain level, then the conditions will change. But if all of us were pious and righteous and Allah wala's, and we had that power of iman and that yaqeen and the trust in Allah ta'ala, and then we went with what little we had in the form of our military and our powers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have turned the tables long ago. But here we have a whole lot of countries all around with the best gunships and fighter planes and jets and bombs and missiles and everything. Purchased from whom? Purchased from those same enemies. It is polished every year and shows take place, shows, defense shows. Military hardware will be on display. And yet here they are using whatever you can think of for a small little population, 1.5 million people in a small area. They don't have any kind of military or might or power as these people have. And here the fight is against America and not against Israel. It's not a fight against Israel. Ground forces, air force, from the sea, every way, bichara, what must they do? As I said, when we look up to the sky, or when we look up on a moonlit night, then we look at the stars and we admire the moon. Those people, when they are looking up for the past few days now, what they are looking is which other jet is going to throw some bombs over us, and which other family is going to go. Yesterday again, husband, wife and 5 children, 7 of them shaheed. Masajid are being bombed. And all they can say is that we'll send some medical supplies and we'll send some food. And that too with great difficulty. How are we going to answer Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So we cannot do much. As I said, nobody is listening. What we are saying here, it doesn't help. All the masajid and all the conferences and everything that took place, did it stop Israel from bombing? So one thing we can do is turn towards Allah ta'ala. Put our heart and soul in our du'as. Don't wait for congregational Yasin khatams and all. That will take place. But each one of us must at least express some kind of sympathy, compassion and love for those people. Masjid al-Aqsa, didn't the Miraj take place from there? Isn't it one of the harams? We talk about visiting the 3 harams, visiting the 3 harams. Nothing wrong, visit the 3 harams. But then what more can we do? Shouldn't we be asking ourselves? So besides contribution, besides helping materially in whichever way, doctors can go and help there. If it is possible to enter and go, they should go and do that work. Others, whichever way they can go and do something, they should do. Assist and help the organizations that are doing something. All that will take place. But it's the power of dua that will change everything. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, no one was greater than him. After Allah, he was the greatest. But in the battle of Badr also, in the battle of Uhud, battle of Trent, everywhere you find Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after he has made use of the means, he didn't sit back and he said, just make dua. He trained those sahabas. He himself put on a coat of arms. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into the battlefield. He did everything. Because we are living in a world of means. So make use of the means, and this is exactly what we are saying, that all those countries which are sitting with those means, when will the day come to make use of the means? The only day that the day will come is when they will be fighting their Muslim brothers and sisters. When they will be fighting the Muslim brothers or neighbors, then that time they will use all that firepower and machinery. That's the time they use it, to fight the Muslim brothers. But when it comes to fighting the enemy forces, then they are observers. But what is the purpose of us just going on, rattling the way? They're not going to listen. So we can turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, these mazloom, these people who have suffered, Ya Allah, come to their assistance and their help. Change the hearts of these enemies of Islam, either give them hidayat or destroy them. They can plot and plan and scheme and do a lot of things, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's decision is what is going to prevail. So we have to turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Indeed, all the rest of the things we will do to keep it in the media and to make people do something about it, making use of the means. But we know that that is not possible for all of us. So Karbala, this is the lesson of that Karbala, that day Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and his small band and whole group was wiped out completely. Many, many a time in the history of Islam, such incidents took place where people thought that that was the end of Islam. But Islam is like the tennis ball, that the harder you hit it on strong, tough, hard surface, the higher it rises. That is Islam. No matter how hard they hit the Muslims in different places, the more Islam flourished. More people wanted to know what is this power behind it. That no matter what you do, but the Muslim cannot be suppressed. But the Muslim has to be a Muslim. That is the first essential condition. Muslim country has to be a Muslim country. Many times I have said that if a person lands at the Dubai airport, straight away that liquor and wine and brandy, it makes you nauseous. And they're proud that the highest sales or second highest sales at an airport was there. So Muslims have to be first Muslims. Turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Beg of him. And when a large percentage, not just few people here and there, when a large percentage of the ummah will change their condition, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change the condition. Therefore the whole Quran Sharif gives us lessons. That look at the plotting and planning, as I was telling you, of assassinating Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and what happened. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he comes out with a sword to assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He ends up as Amirul Mu'mineen. Can we even imagine a person who is coming out with a sword to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Allah ta'ala blesses him with hidayat, he gets Islam, he gets Iman. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, who caused such destruction in the battle of Uhud, he gets Islam, he gets Iman. So many others. But here Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala becomes Amirul Mu'mineen. And he sleeps there with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Rawza Mubarak. So therefore there is nothing to lose hope. Things can turn around. Allah ta'ala can change the condition. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam was put into the well. And they truly believe that now that's the end. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes him out from there. And then he rises to the position of ruler of Egypt. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, from the bottom of the ocean, in the stomach of the whale, he calls out. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala listens to his call. When he says, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala listens to his call. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala responded to his call. Allah Ta'ala removed his grief, his suffering, his distress. Allah Ta'ala took him out of all that. And not only for him, but Allah Ta'ala promises that that is the way. If a Muslim or a mu'min, till the day of Qiyamah also, if he is going to turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and express his weakness, repent, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change his condition. He was a Nabi of Allah ta'ala, but for us also he opened the door. Kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. Kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. He malak ko jis ki nahi khabar, وہ حضور میرا حضور ہے. Says, کبھی طاعتوں کا سرور ہے. Sometimes he says, I'm enjoying عبادت, ذکر, تلاوت. There's enjoyment in it. A person does not enjoy food if he's suffering from malaria. suffering from malaria, he doesn't enjoy food. In the same way, there are certain snakes which they bite. In India, certain kind of snake when it bites, then everything tastes sweet. Everything tastes sweet. So when you go to the Hakim, and we saw this with our own eyes, when you go to the Hakim, then the Hakim keeps giving some kind of medication to that patient and asks a bitter medication, bitter medicine, and asks him, what is the taste of this now? What is the taste of this now? Until he keeps saying it is sweet, it means he's not yet treated. And when he says it's now tasting bitter, so then it means that the patient has now become better. When the patient says that the taste of that which is bitter is tasting bitter, then he says that patient now is better. But until that bitterness tastes sweet, there's something wrong with that patient. So like that, sins are tasting sweet to us now. That means our whole health requires some kind of attention, because we are feeling sweetness in sins, whereas we should be feeling bitterness in sins. That means we have been bitten by some snakes, whether it is of the TV, movie, rave club, disco, cinemas, theaters, adultery, fornication, porn sites, all these snakes have bitten us. And therefore we are feeling sweetness in sins. So, kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai. Sometimes I enjoy the goodness, the ibadat, the zikr, the tilawat. Kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. And sometimes I cry before my Allah and I say, oh Allah, I'm extremely weak servant of yours. I slipped, I fell, I made a mistake, but you love forgiveness, so forgive me, oh my Allah. He malak ko jiski nahi khabar wo huzur mera huzur hai. So then even the angels do not know that this person was down and out, he was in the gutter line. But with his tawbah, with his istighfar, and with his turning towards Allah Ta'ala, what heights he reaches, even the angels cannot reach that height. Today he is on the farsh, and tomorrow he is on the arsh with his tawbah. So therefore this Muharram 10th, it is for tawbah, for istighfar, praying for brothers all over the world, and especially in Palestine at this moment in time. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must change the condition there. What's the time there? Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah jalla jalaluhu. Allahu Allah, 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 Allahu Allah. Yaar rahe ya rab tu mera aur main tera yaar rahu, mujhko faqat tujhse ho mohabbat, khalq se main bezaar rahu. Har waqt zikr o fikr main tere mast rahu, sarshar rahu. होश रहे ना मुझको किसी का, तेरा मगर होशियार रहूं. अब तो रहे बस तादा में आखिर, विर्दे जुबां ए मेरे इलाह. ला इलाह इल्लल्लाह, ला इलाह illallah, la ilaha illallahu, La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. Nafs aur shaitan dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Ae mere maula meri madad kar, chahta hu main teri pana. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya arhamar rahimeen, ya arhamar rahimeen, يا أرحم الراحمين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Oh my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving Allah, most caring Allah. Oh my most beneficent, most merciful, most tolerant Allah. Oh my most beautiful Allah. We are turning towards you, my beloved Allah. You dearly love the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you with repentance. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not bragging about our sins. We are not justifying any of our sins. This very moment, my beloved Allah, you are listening to us. You are watching us. You know the thoughts that are crossing in our minds. We are not raising our hands before some idol that cannot see us, cannot help us, cannot listen to us. We are raising before you, my beloved Allah. You have attached these begging bowls to our bodies so that we may raise them before you any part of the day or night. My beloved Allah, we are raising these begging bowls before you. There is no one for us besides you, my Allah. My beloved Allah, there is no one for us besides you. There is no other door that we can tap. There is no other home in which we can beg. My beloved Allah, hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. If you are not ours, nothing is ours. If you are ours, everything will work in our favor. All power lies with you, my beloved Allah. All might lies with you. My beloved Allah, the ground on which we walk, it belongs to you. You have blessed us with life. You have blessed us with sight, with hearing, with speech, with our heart, liver and lungs and bladder and kidney all functioning. My beloved Allah, if you have to order them to stop functioning, no surgeon and no doctor, no specialist in the world can start getting it to move again. My beloved Allah, everything is in your qudrat and your power and your might. Oh, my beloved Allah, we are living in a world of means, so therefore we make use of the means, because it is your hukam and your order. But my beloved Allah, our trust and our yaqeen is in you, my Allah. Oh, my beloved Allah, you are not in need of large forces. You are not in need of great amount of military equipment and might and power, my beloved Allah. You are in need of our iman and our taqwa. My beloved Allah, change the condition of the ummah around the globe. We are extremely weak servants of yours, my beloved Allah. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we have committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, change the condition of the ummah. Overlook the weakness, the shortcomings and the faults of the ummah. You dearly love forgiveness, my beloved Allah. You don't like punishment. You have blessed us with so much of your bounty, yet you could have seized us there and then when we were committing sins. Ya Allah, you have watched whatever we have done. You could have seized whosoever was committing adultery, fornication, watching porn sites, or going to disco, rave clubs, cinemas, theatres. There and then they could have been destroyed. Oh my Allah, every now and again we hear of how clubhouses and cinemas and theatres burn. So many people lose their lives. Ya Allah, it is just your kindness upon us that you did not seize us there and then when we were committing sins. Therefore, we are seeking complete forgiveness for ourselves, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, and ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved Allah, give hidayah to the entire mankind. Bless everyone with Islam and with Iman. Especially those zalims, my beloved Allah, in Israel. Give them hidayah. And whosoever are their supporters, my beloved Allah, give them hidayah. Bless them with Iman and Islam, with compassion and mercy and kindness. But if they have made up their minds, they are not going to accept the beautiful teachings of Islam. They are going to continue with the tyranny, the persecution, the torture, the plunder, and the pillage, and the carnage. Ah, by Allah, if they are going to continue with the destruction of the lives of little babies, little children, innocent women, they have made up their minds, they will bombard the masajids and the homes. By Allah, shake the ground beneath their feet. Send gale force winds against them. Cause the planes to crash. My beloved Allah, turn their plans against them. Create division and disunity amongst their ranks. Give assistance and help to the mujahideen of Islam. My beloved Allah, protect and safeguard Masjid Al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, remove the Yahud and the Nasara from Jaziratul Arab. Allahumma akhrij al-Yahud wa al-Nasara min Jazirat al-Arab. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi Palestine. My beloved Allah, assist and help them. Open your doors of maghfirat. Those who have lost their lives, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Accept their shahadat which has taken place in this month of Muharram. My beloved Allah, over the past few days, relentless bombing, unconcerned about the world. For nobody in the world seems to be concerned about them. Ya Allah, give hidayat to those countries around. How long are they going to watch the carnage and pillage and plunder? Very Allah, those who have seen with their own eyes the bombs fall upon their children and family members, Ya Allah, what they must be going through. Those who have no place, no shelter, no food. Ya Allah, give sabr-e jameel and ajr-e azeem. Oh, my beloved Allah, how long are we going to remain fast asleep? Change our condition, change our condition. We are the cause of the problems of the world, my Allah. Our homes have been infested also with so much of evil. Our lives are infested with so much of evil. There is no jnana and there is no life in our salat, in our zakat, in our ibadat. My beloved Allah, we are so disunited, fragmented and shattered. The enemies only came in afterwards. We already made pieces and pieces of the ummah. Day of Qiyamah, how are we going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If he has to hold our garment and say that I left you in one body and one soul. And is this what you did to the ummah? Very Allah. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and of the akhirat. Those who are sick and ailing, and my beloved Allah, who is not sick and ailing? Our hospitals are filled in our homes, in our families, in the Muslim Ummah, and throughout mankind, my beloved Allah. We are suffering from so many different kinds of spiritual and physical ailments. Whosoever is sick and ailing, give them complete shifa. Those who are in hospitals and have undergone operations or will be undergoing operations. Those who are suffering from different kinds of calamities and disasters and problems. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, problems. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Cures of our spiritual ailments also. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy and jealousy. My beloved Allah, bless us all with good health, with long life, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, parents and children, family members, Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How long are we going to carry the garbage in our hearts, my Allah? Give us the hearts that you give to your friends and your walis, my Allah. Those hearts which are throbbing with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, Sunu me naam tera dhadkano me maza a jaye maula dil badal de. With every beat of my heart I hear Allah, Allah, Allah. My beloved Allah, everything is in your control. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties with plentiful of halal wealth. Those who are in debts and liabilities, my beloved Allah, remove them from those debts and liabilities. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone onto drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, popping drugs in our mouths or bottle of wine in our hands, or adultery or fornication or watching some filth on the internet sites or television screen. We don't know when the angel of death is going to strike. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. Wahan ke gulshanon mein koi apna bhi chaman hota. Basar ab zindagi apni diyar-e-quds mein hoti. Wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi goro kafan hota. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye, gham tumhara dil hamara chahiye. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye, gham tumhara dil hamara چاہیے بحر الفت کا کنارا چاہیے در تمہارا سر ہمارا چاہیے در تمہارا سر ہمارا چاہیے یا اللہ بلیس اس ود دا بیسٹ آف آل بلیس اس ود آل دا گڈنس دیٹ نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام آسکڈ فار اس بلیس دا امت ود دیٹ گڈنس اینڈ فرام آل دا مسچیف کرپشن اینڈ فتناز دیٹ ہی آسکڈ فار پروٹیکشن پروٹیکٹ اس اینڈ دا امت آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما اللہم صل علی سیدنا محمد و آلہ سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین